Oh, it feels good to be back in the chair, my friend. Good to be with you here on the Steve Alsham Show, live from the Fargo studio. We were on the road a little bit last week. Big thanks to Tony Gehrig for filling in on Friday. Enjoyed a great Labor Day weekend. Hope you did too. And here we go. Buckle up, because it is the official dash to November 8th. Hang on a second. November 5th. Election Day here. It's either the 5th or the 12th. Why am I drawing a blank on this? Election Day. Hey, Siri. Day. This is great radio, I know, but I got to get this thing figured out here. November 5th. There we go. It is a sprint to the finish. No doubt about that. I just saw a minute ago, I didn't have this in the rundown. This is what today has turned into, my friend. It has been drinking from a fire hose of interesting things going on. We're going to cover about 50 bases. I literally have 25 things in the queue today. But I just saw a moment ago, Nate Silvers, sorry, got something caught in my throat here too. We'll actually get the show on the road at some point here without me falling apart. Nate Silvers' prediction on the swing states shows Donald Trump moving into a good position there. Boy, we can only hope about that. So we'll try to find some time for that today. A lot of other stuff to visit with you about. The city of Fargo is starting to make the tough decisions on the downtown homeless population. UND, North Dakota University, says it's a good semester for enrollment up in Grand Forks. And a bizarre week of bomb threats has now become a federal investigation. Plus, breaking right now, we understand that there has been some issues with some of the, traffic signals are out in certain places in Fargo. So we'll cover all that coming up today here as well on the program. We are guest-free today, and we don't always do this. We don't often do it. But today I just thought, you know, we're getting back into it. Kind of that first day where it sort of kind of feels like the fall grind is on. And I thought, let's just spend some time talking today. So I've got a lot of stuff to share with you that I have learned today. I want to hear your thoughts on some of the stories today. One of them is, I still love the mall. I don't go to the mall here in town very often, West Acres. But I like going every once in a while, handful of times a year, when it just feels right to go to the mall. I guess I'm an old guy, and I still like to go to the mall. Christmas time, a couple times all during the Christmas season, I'll just walk through there, take a half hour during the course of the workday, just walk through, just that holiday cheer. I still love the mall, and not that I go there a lot, but it's fun when you have to go or you need something or you want to, but not everybody does. So I've got a story about this. So how about you? Do you still go to the mall, and why? Would love to hear from you on that today. Are you like me, just one of those kind of old souls who loves just walking through the mall? It's kind of sad that in order to make the heart feel better, you got to walk through a capitalist hub where people just spend money. That's what happens. But there's a food court there too and lots of smiling people. So I don't know. I don't think I'm the only one out there, but let me know. 701-271-1100. Do you still go to the mall? And why? I can also ask you this question today. How do you feel about the Trump-Harris race? I don't know why, but I feel a little better today than I did maybe a week or two ago. Maybe it's the Nate Silver poll that I just saw about the swing states. I don't know. Maybe it's the poll I saw about Minnesota today. That was very interesting. I've got that in the rundown for today. I feel encouraged. I don't know why she got such a huge wave at the beginning, other than the obvious reasons, right? Media's jumping on her bandwagon. But I just don't know why people didn't really look at what they were getting. But it looks like they're starting to. And I'm feeling much better about what things are going to be like on November 5th. Certainly not overconfident by any stretch. And I don't even know that I'd say I'm confident. Just because we know what's going on. We know all the oddball things. I got into a Twitter battle last week with a couple of guys who were like, let me tell you why we can't have voter ID at the polls. Because, and I actually don't engage anymore. I used to. But I had a couple of people like, I was behind an old guy in a wheelchair and he was a veteran and he wanted to vote and he didn't have his photo ID so they wouldn't let him vote. And that's wrong. That veteran should be able to vote. Granddad still has an ID, okay? It's not like whoever we're talking about can't get an ID. You're not talking about you need an ID for everything in the world. And then another guy said, it amounts to a poll tax, because if you have to pay for a driver's license or a library card or whatever it is, I'm like, you guys, come on. You're working really, really hard to prop up a couple of straw men that really don't work. I mean, those arguments don't really work. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and it's not hard to get. Come on now. We expect more of our house pets than we expect from people when they want to vote for our country. So I've heard a lot about this. And so, you know, there are a lot of people that, for whatever their reason, they don't want an ID for voting. And, you know, there's certain people out there that just want to fake the whole thing, want to have distorted results and all that because they want power. I hope we never go there. And maybe we do more than I think we do on our side, but I think most people on our side are like, count every vote. And am I going to be happy if Kamala Harris beats Donald Trump? No. But I can live with it because at least we know what honestly happened. I still don't know that I know what honestly happened back in 2020. And the RNC, and Turning Point USA have all been working very hard to try to do some poll watching, some watchdogging, and I appreciate that very much. But they can't eradicate all of it. So I am encouraged about the direction things seem to be going. I don't think Kamala Harris is electable. She's the worst political candidate of my lifetime, and I've lived through Hillary Clinton being a candidate. So I just don't think that she can win in the end. And I saw a quote last week about a clip. It was edited, so I'm not trusting it fully. But it sounded like she was backing reparations for people of color. I don't think it's people of color. It's African Americans, that there would be reparations for them. And she said, I'll sign that bill or whatever. But I can't speak to its authenticity. I don't know. But I think there's enough of that stuff out there that's making people really start to question, and that is a good thing. All right, let's get to it here. But I would love your thoughts on this. Do you still go to the mall, and why? And, or you can answer both, that how do you feel about the Trump-Harris battle? Do you feel good? Are you still more nervous than confident? I'm wondering how you feel, because I'm kind of somewhere in the middle myself. 271-1100 is the phone number, studio at flagfamily.com, and the text line open for business after a few days on the road, 701-237-1590. All right, time for the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines, as we go rapid fire to catch you up on what has been a crazy busy Tuesday that feels like a Monday. I've been calling it Monday all week or all day. So it is a Tuesday. The Steve Ahlstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ram Jack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to pccnd.com to learn more. Average high for this day, we're down to 77 now for the average high. Average low, 53. On this day back in 1925, it was 98 degrees, almost hit 100 in September back in 1925. On this day in 1891, it was 28. Sunrise this morning, none of these numbers are any fun at all anymore. It was really fun back in April and May. We're on the wrong direction now. 6:50 is sunrise. It's almost 7 o'clock now before the sun comes up. And 8:01, when I visit with you tomorrow, the sun will be setting before 8 o'clock. We're going to lose 3 minutes and 14 seconds of daylight today, and I don't like any part of this at all. Speaking of things you don't like any part of, the market took it on the chin today. Traders got back from the holiday weekend and said, time to sell, sell, sell. The Dow was down 626, S&P 500 down 119, NASDAQ down 577. There was a manufacturing report that didn't look very good that leading traders to feel like there might be an economic slowdown or possibly a recession on the way. So there you have it on that. WTI crude oil down $3.33. That is more than 4 percentage points at 70.22. Good news, gas should get a little less expensive here coming up soon. Gold today down 280. Nothing was sacred today. Silver down 74 cents today as well. Bitcoin today down $301, 58,159. Ooh, this was a day when everybody was selling everything. We'll see what happens in the follow-up. We saw this about a month ago after that really bad jobs report, but it rebounded after a couple of days. I'm interested to see where things go after this one. AAA says the average price of a gallon of unleaded gas nationwide, $3.32. North Dakota, we're at $3.24. Minnesota, $3.15. And South Dakota is at $3.19. In the news today, this breaking, just into the newsroom, several travelers around the city of Fargo are reporting to us that multiple traffic lights are out. Neither Cass County Electric nor XL Energy are reporting outages in the city. WDAY Radio Newsroom is working on this with city officials to find out more. But if you are seeing some lights out during, I guess we're not in quite rush hour yet, but we're getting darn close, you are not alone, my friend. Fargo City Commission is going to meet tonight, and since it was a Monday for Labor Day, they're meeting tonight. They've got a couple of big topics there. They're going to do a second reading and final adoption of an ordinance regarding camping on public property and a resolution to accompany it. So it looks like that's officially going to happen. There's been a lot of talk about it, but it hasn't happened officially yet. And also, hooray for John Strand. Now, John and I don't see our politics quite the same way, but John wants to have an honest discussion regarding the arbors. He says, we have a community of people living there who are communicating their serious concerns about safety and public health conditions. There's been a lot of stuff going down at the arbors, and I'm glad to see John saying, let's get under the hood here and see what is going on here. So they're going to be talking about this. There's a lot of good people there that are trying to figure out just how to live their life and protect their kids, but there is a lot of bad news going on at the arbors, so I'm glad they're getting into it there. WDAY Radio also reports freshman enrollment appears to be up substantially at the University of North Dakota. The initial estimates indicate a nearly 24% increase in freshman class this year over last. Overall enrollment is also on the rise, with 6.2% more students this year compared to 2023. Officials say some of the increase due to new programs like the aerospace engineering major. I also think some of these, what do we call it, the North Dakota plan or the whatever plan that's going to give some free tuition, that has to be factoring in here as well. Speaking of City of Fargo, WDAY Radio reports the Fargo PD has announced the investigation into multiple bomb threats last week has turned into a federal investigation. All six threats were found to be unfounded, not credible. The FBI has taken over the investigation due to the origins of the threats. Well, I would think so. Someone needs to figure out what in the world is going on here. A man is dead after a shootout with authorities near New Salem early today. It happened just before 1 a.m., near I-94, when a vehicle fled an attempted traffic stop in Bismarck. Near New Salem, they deployed some stops, some spike strips, and troopers say the suspected driver opened fire on authorities. Two troopers and a Morton County deputy fired back at the suspect, resulting in his death. There was a female passenger in the car at the time. What a horrible situation for that woman to sit through, but he clearly wanted to die. And a very sad story happening right there. And I got one more here for you today that I wanted to pass along to you. And I'm going to tackle the weather world here just a little bit. It could be a cold winter in North Dakota with normal snowfall, Bismarck Tribune reports, according to the initial winter outlook from National Weather Service. We'll have to ask Justin Storm about this in a little bit. La Nina conditions are expected to emerge this fall. That's the one you don't want. El Nino was last winter when it was like winter in Tulsa, but La Nina expected to emerge this fall. 74% chance those conditions will continue through the winter. And that means we could have equal to above average chances of snowfall. And they're saying also a greater chance of below normal temperatures. Oh, we don't want that. So we'll see what Justin has to say about that. All right, when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show, I still love the mall, at least knowing that we have a good one here, but it's not that way everywhere. How about you? Do you still go to the mall, and why? Would love to hear from you on that one today. 701-271-1100. We'll be right back. Every Tuesday at this time, we get to visit one of the good folks at Starian Bank and find out a little bit more how to take care of our money. And Sean Dillon is an insurance agent at Starian today. Sean, good afternoon. Good to visit with you, my friend. I understand that there's a more and more of a push, and I think we all see it, for people to go online and buy their insurance, the Gecko or Flo or whoever it is that's on the TV commercials we see there. But what can we run into if we do that and we might be missing out on something good locally?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me. It's pretty common. I mean, you see it all the time now. People, don't want to have to interact with people anymore, it seems. Everyone thinks to do everything online. It can be handy. However, me, if I wasn't an insurance agent, I would not be a insurance expert. So me going online is not necessarily doing myself the justice that I may need when it comes to coverages. Finding different things that are applicable to me in this area, things like that. It really, really gives you a personalized service, single point of contact when you have an agent, especially with, different coverages, things like that, that you may not know exist, an agent can kind of offer you. And of course, you have to watch out for those coverages. A lot of those online ads, you see one price and it wants you to click it. You think it's great. Well, they're usually not running reports, usually, don't account many different factors in there, and sometimes even include state minimum limits, which I would never recommend for one of my customers. So definitely, miss out on that personal touch by doing those online items unless you're truly an insurance expert and know what you're doing on it.
Yeah, which none of us are, right? That's why we need people like you. So I think that the message that we hear from those ads is, 15 minutes or more can save you 15%. And we feel like because these companies are big and national, they can save us money. But can you get the same low prices from a local agent that you can get from those companies?
Oh, absolutely. The nice thing is I work with many different carriers. So the nice thing is I can compete with myself. So if you're one of my customers, let's say I see an increase that I don't like next year on your insurance premiums, I can shop it around to different companies that I write for, and I can still beat myself for the price that, that we want it, that comes in the best. Obviously not sacrificing coverage, though, but definitely shopping it around to find cheaper premiums, which is definitely a good thing in this environment right now. So,
yeah, what might come up if they were visiting with you that people might be able to catch or get protection for that you might not be thinking about if you're just clicking boxes on your screen?
One of the things is going to be, additional coverages such as an umbrella, something to, think about that if I, again, wasn't in insurance, I would have had no idea existed, as an added benefit to you to save you a little money on your primary home and auto policies, but then also to, provide some extra coverage. But then there's also, the different coverages for different scenarios. Let's say, you're out door dashing or delivering for Walmart, different things like that. I mean, I, as an agent, can look and say, these are the companies that would allow it, and this is what I need to do to make sure that you're covered doing those items.
Makes sense.
Whereas, yeah, if you're out driving, you may not know or think to ever talk to your insurance about it.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, as you can tell, these guys know what they're talking about. Every Tuesday, we get a little smarter. We haven't stumped them yet. Sean, thanks very much for giving us a few minutes here and getting us thinking about some of these good things. And if you want to find out more that what Sean and his team can do for you, 701-281-5600, 701-281-5600, or go online to StarianBank.com, StarianBank.com. Sean, thanks for the visit. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. You as well.
All right, thanks very much. Take care. All right, so Macy's has about 519 stores across the country, and they are a staple in malls, no doubt about that. But every day I feel like here on the show, I'm telling you about another store that you might have gone to in the mall that's closing out. Foot Locker, closing a lot of stores, Bath and Body Works, Body Shop, Express. There's a whole bunch of them, and they're closing stores. And now Macy's is doing it too. 150 locations in the coming months. How about that? 150 out of 519, that's almost 30% maybe? So that darn near one out of every three of their stores, something like that. That is a big number. So they're just saying that people are not going to the mall the way they used to be. And they're losing customers. The rent is too high, hard to find employees, so they're closing up. Man, how does it get better for Macy's? That's the thing. If you're in the business of selling stuff like Macy's is, and you have fewer stores selling that stuff, there's no way that you can, maybe you can consolidate a few things here and there, but man, in order to grow, you've got to have more stores, not less. So this is bad news. I would not want to be a stockholder in Macy's. I saw that today and I thought, oh my gosh, that's a big number, 150. We don't know if the one here locally is going to be affected. 55 of the stores will be closed by the end of the year. The rest will be closed soon after. They've not yet announced which locations will be affected. Oh, for those of us that like to go to the mall once in a while, that's going to be a big anchor point right there. All right, 4:30 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Let's send it over to Chris Larson. He's in the Flagg Family Newsroom. He's been keeping an eye on the headlines today. Take it away, Chris. Thank you, Christopher. A good job as always. Now it's time to kick it over to the Skywatch Weather Center, where meteorologist Justin Storm has been on the job for us today. Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, Steve. How are you doing on
this
beautiful day?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those mixed days for me, because on one hand, I love the long weekends, right? And you kind of just kind of enjoy the slower pace. But I do like getting back to the office and seeing all you guys and kind of getting back locked into the routine of things a little bit too. But it's been a good day and a very busy day in news, so that makes for a good show. I want to ask you, my friend, before you give us the forecast, National Weather Service is saying that we've got a pretty good chance of La Nina conditions, which we like the El Ninos more than the La Ninas. Those are the colder ones, I guess. They're saying kind of 50-50 chance of more or less snow than average, so no real changes there, but they're saying a greater than 35% chance of below normal temps, and it would be February through April. It's a long way away on that, but what are you guys, with your LRC model, what are you guys coming up with as you take an early look at the winter?
Well, for the LRC, that will be setting up here in the first week of October, so we're just about a month away from a new cycle beginning, and that will ultimately unveil what the most likely outcome that this winter is going to be. So we're just a little away from having that main piece of the puzzle and being able to tell you exactly how the winter is going to play out. But yeah, there are signs of indications that we'll be heading into a La Nina, and typically with La Nina years, for our area, that does bring in colder and snowier conditions up here to North Dakota, southern Canada, Minnesota, the northern Great Plains. But not all La Ninas are cold and snowy. There are some that are warm and dry, and we've seen years before where it was supposed to be cold and snowy, and it just wasn't. So
Okay. There's
a heightened probability that it will be a colder and snowier winter, but ultimately we will not know until the LRC sets up this fall, that we'll be keeping a very close eye on. And again, that will be that first week of October.
Okay, so this and the Old Farmer's Almanac, I guess you can put them in the same bookshelf, huh?
You could. They're, what is it? The Farmer's Almanac, it's cold with periods of snow.
Yeah.
It sums up the winter pretty good.
Yep, that's right. And they've never been wrong.
They never will be either.
The Old Farmer's Almanac. All right, what are we looking at this week?
Although from being windy right now, it has been a very nice day out there. It's 87 degrees, but it doesn't quite feel that warm because we don't have a lot of humidity in the air. And while there's a pretty strong wind gusting upwards of 40 miles an hour at times out of the south, it's currently sustained at 22 miles per hour here in Fargo, but gusting to 38. And it will stay on the windy side through the rest of our afternoon into the evening, but sunny, a little hazy out there. So all in all, not too bad of a day, just windy. The winds will lighten up after dark, but it's going to remain breezy tonight. South winds stick around 10 to 25. We'll see a few more clouds pulling into the area as we drop down to a low near 63, low to mid 60s around the FM metro. Now for tomorrow, the day will kind of be split. The morning to early afternoon looks nice. It's going to be partly sunny and hazy. Highs right around 80, give or take a couple degrees around our area, with south winds 10 to 20, but a cold front will swing through by the mid to late afternoon. That's going to bring a chance for a few isolated showers, maybe a couple of storms through the back half of our day into your Wednesday night, as well as temperatures dropping to the 70s with north winds around 10 to 20. Now, through your Wednesday night, expect areas of smoke to start funneling down out of the upper atmosphere. That will bring patchy smoke for your Thursday, with highs much cooler, only right around 70 degrees on Thursday, and we'll stay in the upper 60s on both Friday and Saturday. May sneak close to 70 on Saturday, but it's just a couple days of cool weather. Morning lows will be in the mid upper 40s, so it's going to be a little chilly in the mornings, but we snap right out of it by Sunday. We're in the upper 70s and right around 80, give or take a few degrees for most of next week.
I didn't hear you say much about rain. Is it looking like a pretty dry week?
It's looking like a fairly dry week. Now, there's a slight chance for a few isolated showers here or there, fairly isolated along that cold front Wednesday into your Wednesday night, and then maybe a couple isolated showers here or there on Thursday, but nothing heavy outside of, again, maybe that thunderstorm on Wednesday evening. But nothing heavy, nothing widespread, nothing for a prolonged period of time.
Okay.
Just a couple hit or miss showers for a couple days.
I got back from Colorado going down there for our bison coverage, and I saw my yard got really dry that week when I was out. So Tracy said we might have got a little bit of rain, but not much. But it's been fairly dry here the last month or so.
It has been. You know, a lot of, or some of our areas picked up a decent amount of moisture. Grand Forks just last week, it was anywhere between 2 and 5 inches of rain.
Oh,
and
holy smokes.
I think Fargo snuck out with maybe a quarter inch, so
yeah,
it's been kind of
much.
One of those hit or miss things with where the heavier rain has been, but there are a few areas that could use a good drink like your yard, Steve.
Okay.
And this weather is brought to you by Air Mechanical of Fargo.
Very good, sir. Thank you very much,
no problem.
Justin. When we come back, we'll play Media Watchdog. People are cutting the cord left and right, and the woke folk at Bloomberg are pulling the plug on a new show because the host had the guts to speak the truth. Plus, question of the day, are you feeling... Well, how are you feeling about Trump versus Harris? Are you feeling confident? Are you feeling a little nervous about it? Would love to hear from you, 701-271-1100. Get the quality, reliable help you need today from Labor Masters. It's the only place to turn when you need a little help. Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo's number one choice for daily and temp labor. No job too big, no project is too small. Staffing solutions, and even some job opportunities. If you have some time, want to make a little money, maybe get a long-term gig. The team at Labor Masters works with more than 200 businesses in the FM West Fargo area, and they provide a wide range of daily and temporary employment positions. We use Nancy's team all the time. They do a great job for us. They'll do a great job for you, too. Get the quality, reliable help you need today. When it comes to help, quality and reliable, that's the way to go. LaborMasters.net, LaborMasters.net. I just saw a note about Troy Siebel, and I hope I'm saying it that right. I don't know the official pronunciation of his name, Siebel or Seibel, but he was the former North Dakota Deputy Attorney General in the state. And if my memory serves correctly, he was the Deputy AG under Wayne Stengem when he served. And I am not going to try to connect any dots. I just think it's interesting timing because there's been a lot of talk about that case out there, the Ray Holmberg case, and Holmberg and Wayne Stengem were friends. Now, look, I have friends that maybe don't have great reputations either. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anything there, but Troy Siebel has passed away. Drew Wrigley confirmed this just a short time ago to WDAY radio. And we don't know much about the cause of death or anything like that. I just wanted to pass that along to you. Blessings and peace to his family. All right. Let's hit the phone lines here because I am curious how you all are feeling about the Trump-Harris race. Do you feel more encouraged today than maybe you did a week or two ago? Less encouraged? About the same? How do you feel? Crystal wants to weigh in today. Good afternoon, Crystal. How are you?
Well, hey there, Steve. We started this phone conversation about a year ago and been kind of going strong ever since. So I try to answer your clarion call out there to the public and say, hey, how do you all feel? So I'll give you how I feel. I didn't think that Biden was going to make it to the ticket anyway. So I've always kind of expected that Harris was going to come in for a 1-2 punch, and I kind of thought it happened in October.
Yeah, same.
So, but I think what's also going on is there's people who realize the high inflation. We're suffering with high tax, high taxes under Biden and Harris, and inflation, and the cost of energy, cost of housing, you know, everything is just off the wall, and it's all related to how they've been trying to stifle the growth of fossil fuels and trying to shove that green agenda on us.
Yeah, I agree.
So the thing that I'm looking out for also is the Senate races in Michigan, Ohio, especially West Virginia, because I think that's a pickup.
Yes, should be.
Pennsylvania, yep. As well as Montana. And
that should be a pickup too, Montana, yes.
I think so. And I think because of the strong candidates that there are and the strong support for Trump that there is, that's why you're hearing more and more with the other side saying, oh, we got to get rid of the Electoral College. Let's only go for the popular vote. Well, then we're stymied by the majority in California, New York, stuff like that, because then they rule.
Yes.
East Coast, West Coast rules, and us people in between, we got no voice.
Yeah.
It's flyover. We would never see a candidate again if they get rid of the Electoral College.
Yeah, I get you. Crystal, the only thing that is curious to me is where the polls are at now is still a little more overcooked than where I thought they would be. We all knew that Harris was going to get a surge because anybody they put in was going to get a boost because it's not Joe Biden anymore. But she went from being down in a lot of national polls, like 11, 12 points under Trump, to, like, in some cases, 5, 6, 7 points ahead of Trump. Minnesota's a good example of this. Like, 3 weeks ago, she was a 10% advantage in Minnesota. Now she's 5. So I expect there to be a little bump, but I didn't expect to go this far. I'm just wondering what in the world people were thinking at the beginning when Harris got this wave, and now it seems to be going down a little bit. Still needs to go down, obviously, a lot more. But why did people respond so positively to her?
Because it was a relief to get Biden off there. I don't like how they did it.
Yeah, but she's terrible.
She is terrible.
Even though she is not Biden, you can't just say, look, we're going to put in Attila the Hun and we're all going to vote for him.
That's what they're doing, because they so much don't like Donald Trump. That's the deranged syndrome. Ugh. You and I have been watching this for the past 3 years under, you know, this Biden tyranny. For them talking about being standing up for the democratic process, baloney. They sabotaged and they wouldn't let competition. You know, look at Dean Phillips. He at least had the guts
RFK.
To challenge.
Yeah.
And RFK, exactly, and Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, there were a lot of people on the other side who saw what was going on. We all saw the diminished capacities of Biden, and age follows. I mean, we all knew that, but we need a strong person who can think fast on his feet. He can't. Who can verbally say and express where we're at. He can't. And then his negativities really are going to splash over on her eventually.
Yeah.
When people finally wake up and realize that she doesn't stand for anything.
Yeah, right on.
More Biden junk.
Yeah, I got you. Crystal, thanks a lot. Yeah, I don't disagree with anything she said there. I think she's right about all of that. But you guys, we're talking about tens of millions of people that statistically, if you go by what these surveys tell you, that we're willing to say she is better than Donald Trump to run this country. Tens of millions of people were willing to say that. Like, How do you get? I suppose it's just we pay attention and a lot of people don't. I get it. But I'll never understand, like, why someone would say, this is going to be my choice when they really don't have any idea. I suppose someone calls and says, what do you think? And you're like, I don't know. Ryan in Aberdeen maybe can throw a little light on this. How are you feeling, Ryan, about this whole thing?
I'm not sure how to feel in terms of my own personal optimism or pessimism, but I just wanted to say, Steve, I think fear can be a great, great motivator politically, particularly in the case of the Democrats, in the absence of meaningful policy proposals.
Yeah.
I think one might be able to make an argument, right or wrong, that Republicans are engaging in the same kind of fear. Well, would you rather have Kamala Harris than Donald Trump? At least Trump has made policy proposals. I think if Harris were honest about what she really believed, she'd be cooked. That's why all the
maybe
was.
So what are but they when it, you say it's fear it, though, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're short on time. When you say that there's fear, I get it. I probably both sides use that, but what are you afraid of with Trump? Do you not like, you know, a job for everybody and a healthy economy and safety at home and international peace? Like, what's the fear that Donald Trump is going to do to the country?
I'm not a Democratic voter. I can't speak to the rationality.
No, I get it. It's maybe a rhetorical question.
But, you know. Yeah,
I can't speak
to the rationality of that, because I wouldn't vote for Harris anyway. I mean, don't get me wrong, but that's all that I really see as a voter, you know, as a member of the public. That's all I see that's motivating Democratic voters. And that may be enough for all I know.
Maybe.
I'm really not feeling too good about Trump's chances right now.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm feeling better by the day. And I think the more things that come out about her, we're starting to really see a coverage of things that maybe we all knew if we were paying attention. But again, most people are just living their lives, chasing their kids around, trying to make ends meet. But I don't know. I mean, if you can't put two and two together and figure that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden together have increased your prices on everything by 22% over the last 4 years, then I just don't know I don't know how you make your decisions. But anyway, Ryan, thanks for giving a call, man. I appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. 451 here, Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, the story I was teasing a little bit earlier, there are a lot of people that are unplugging the cable TV. I'm talking about a lot of people. It's being called the Great Cable Collapse. This is next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, pay TV as an industry lost 1.6 million subscribers in the second quarter of this year. These are your cable people, satellite people, your Midcos, your Sparklights, your Comcast, your DirecTVs. Lost 1.6 million subscribers in the second quarter of 2024. That's a big number. This accounts for about 7% of the industry's base. So 7% of the people that had cable or dish, quote unquote, cut the cord in the second quarter. I saw this story on Reuters here today, and an industry insider wrote this about it. He said, there's no reason to think that the slide is going to slow down at all. It is becoming increasingly clear that there is no longer any floor. Basically, it's look out below, because there is nothing to catch anybody. I don't know. I think they probably have me for life. However long my life goes, I'm going to be a cable guy. I've tried to do the apps thing. I don't like it. I know I pay a little bit. If I was really trying to save money, then I might do it and try to take my chances with YouTube TV and Hulu or whatever. But I don't want to have 16 apps to go find all my stuff. Right now, I turn the TV on and it's there. And that simplicity and that reliability for me is it's just what wins in my world there. So I don't know. Maybe you've got a different story on that. Maybe you've cut the cord and you love it. But I like my sports. I like my politics. I like my news channels and those kind of things. And I just don't know that you can find all that in one place. And every so often, I like to watch True TV because the NCAA basketball tournament's on there. So I don't watch all those channels a ton, but every so often, I do like to have them there. So I thought that was interesting. 7% in one quarter. It's by the way, it's not the biggest quarter loss they've ever had. There was a quarter two of 2023 when they lost even a little bit more than that. So that's a crazy one there for you. Okay, what else can I tell you here? Oh, I got to save that a little bit for later. I've got to get this one in here. So KSTP-TV did a poll about a month ago, and that showed that Donald Trump was trailing Kamala Harris by 10 points. Harris was getting the initial wave. Well, they just did this poll again last week, and a month later, the lead has been trimmed in half. Harris now leads Trump 48-43, with 4% preferring another candidate, 5% undecided. You guys, according to these numbers, Minnesota's in play. It's still going to be really tough, don't get me wrong. But, boy, that initial wave is running out. And in Minnesota, if Minnesota's within five, that means all those swing states are even or Trump plus. Very interesting. All right, coming up in hour number two, the days of the mom and pop resort are fading into history. We'll give you the numbers and tell you why. Don't go away. Here we go. Hour number two, the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Tuesday. Keep saying it. Tuesday. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. September 3rd, 2024. Jay Thomas is in hanging with me. Jay out of the office tomorrow, so we roped him in here a day early. Want to let you know the Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it. Go to PCCND.com to learn more. Jay Thomas, how many times have you said Monday today?
Actually, surprisingly, none.
Good for you.
Because I wrote on a piece of paper in the studio. I did. Tuesday.
Yep.
Hey,
same.
Who just got out of the pokey? What's with the black and white stripes here?
Oh, that's my my referee shirt.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe we had an escape.
Well, I think a few of our employees might qualify there.
No kidding.
The Weather and Ag team was doing a thing for one of the Here We Grow videos, the 20 acres of corn they're growing.
How is it? The corn?
Good. Looks great. It's not going to be worth a pint of... My grandpa used to say, it ain't worth a pint of piss, but it's going to be some good corn. That was when the corn was looking good, but it's not going to be worth anything. Commodity prices are terrible.
They are.
And it's not going to get better anytime soon. So they needed my referee shirt and my whistle for some video thing.
Oh, boy.
That's the deal. And Justin Sorum finally brought it back.
So. All right.
Jay, this guy ate 83 hot dogs yesterday.
What contest was going on?
This is the Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut Labor Day.
I didn't know they did it on Labor Day. I thought it was just the 4th.
Of course, there's TV markets. Netflix is doing a televised eating contest on Labor Day.
Oh, that's right. They did this because Chestnut could not, because of the deal he did, could not do the Nathan one.
I didn't know that.
Okay. So they set this one up.
Smart
so Kobayashi won this?
No, Chestnut did.
How many did he do?
83, and the bun. He ate the bun,
well,
too.
Well, you have to, and they dip the bun in the water to slide it down.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that's not even it's not possible. It's not possible.
What was the time frame on this? Because usually these are 10 minutes. Yep. For him to get 80, he got 83 down in 10 minutes?
It's unthinkable here. I've got a story here. It's from NPR, but hopefully they can give us this story without saying we hate Donald Trump, by the way.
Yeah.
83 in 10 minutes.
I'll go say if he puked, it would have been Donald Trump's fault.
Correct. Yeah.
Exactly.
And speaking of puke, you cannot regurgitate the hot dogs or
done.
It doesn't count. You got to keep them down. I don't know for how long.
But some of the stuff these guys eat, because this is the World Eating Federation. I mean, this is big money. These guys make big money when you get to that level. I mean, they do chicken wings. They do, butter. It's ridiculous what they put down.
So apparently the story is here. Chestnut was banned from the Nathan's contest for signing an endorsement deal with Impossible Foods, the plant-based meat company. So he signed a deal with a meat alternative company, and they said, heck with you, Joey Chestnut. We're not letting you eat real 100% USDA beef hot dogs anymore. Good for them. So, oh, my gosh. It's he's won this contest 16 times.
It's just you watch and go, how can a human actually consume that much?
And would you ever touch a hot dog again? I would never even want to come close.
Do you know what though?
Oh my gosh!
He and many of these folks that do this have been interviewed many times over the years, and that question comes up: how can you then go? And it really doesn't bother them because they're not tasting this stuff.
Yeah, right.
It's just going down, filling the belly up, and then eventually it's gone. So, but oof, man.
Unreal.
I like a hot dog, but come on, dude.
Oh man, 83.
That's got to be a world record now. That's got to be his all time record.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is. It's his best ever. I was a high jumper in high school and college, and had a little bit of success back in the day. And I remember when I jumped 6'10 and 3/4 was my best ever jump.
Okay.
And I remember a guy named Javier Sotomayor at the time out of Cuba set the world record at 8 feet and like a quarter inch. And I remember thinking like that's not possible for a guy to jump 8 feet. This
that
is how
is
I feel
crazy.
About 83 hot dogs.
Eight
feet tall. That's like jumping over the roof of your house.
I years ago did a eating contest. Actually, it was years ago. It was Paul Bougie and Tracy Briggs were doing the morning show on DAY Radio. And it was a burger eating contest at Dairy Queen. Hmm. And I wasn't, at the time, I wasn't
ready. Oh, DQ. Highly underrated burgers, by the way. They're very good burgers.
And I'm told, Alex said, I'm going to go do this. She said, yeah, go do it. You like the slam food. I did. I quit at 13 hamburgers.
Oh, did you really?
And I could not do anymore. Oh, and the guy that won it, I can't remember. It was like 18, 20. I mean, he just kept going. I'm like, I'm done. I cannot. No. I can't. And they were single burgers.
Oh,
I did 13 of them.
And the bun too?
Yeah, you had to do the bun too.
Oh my gosh.
And you could have the condiments on there if you wanted. Yeah. And a little ketchup because you got to get some kind of moisture.
Yeah, something to slide that thing down.
But yeah. It's like, wow.
Some contests you don't want to win. If you got to eat 25 hamburgers, whatever the prize they're giving you, it ain't worth it.
And the prize, I can't remember it. It wasn't.
Like movie tickets or something.
No, it was like a certificate of Dairy Queen. Like, and it wasn't a huge one. Just like, yeah. I just thought, it'd be fun to try it. Let me give it a shot.
I don't know. I can't do it. I just get this horrible feeling when I overeat. Like if I had three hamburgers, I mean, you could maybe do that. And then I would just start feeling awful. Oh. And that feeling of eating too much and just being miserable. I can't imagine.
Every once in a while, cause I eat pretty healthy for the most part. About 80% of my diet is that when I had my colonoscopy a couple months back and you had to go on that fast for 24 plus hours, for some reason I was craving Big Macs.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, okay, we'll stop at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. We'll get home. We'll let you lay down for a little bit and we'll go.
Yeah.
I go to McDonald's. I get four Big Macs.
Oh, let's go.
And I put them all down.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what, I was hurting for a while.
I bet
man.
You were.
But, oh, man. Well, I don't know why I was craving Big Macs.
Yeah, you get the extra slice of bread in there, too, on those bad boys.
Usually I pull that out.
That's what I would do, yeah. I like the quarter pounders with cheese, and their fries are the bomb. I don't know how you eat four Big Macs. That's. I did eat two Chipotle burritos one time, and
those
a buddy of mine was like, "You should get your picture on the wall for doing that."
I did Smokies. I got a T-shirt at Smokies years ago, and Smokies did the 76 ounces. If you eat it all,
the big 96.
Theirs was I think 76 ounces when Smokies was out in West Fargo. And
what is that? A big like ribeye or something?
They give you, I think, if I remember correctly, was you got four big steaks, and you had to finish the steaks and the potatoes.
Oh my word!
And I can't remember if you had to do the bread too. I think there were two slices of bread, something like that. I polished it off, got the T-shirt, and.
Oh my!
Sign it, and you could either take it home or hang it on the wall at Smokies. I hung mine on the wall at Smokies. I was young, dude. I mean, that was in my late 20s.
To go back for one day and go to all the good. We used to have a Fuddruckers here in town. I love Fuddruckers.
I was crushed. I moved here, and it was like 6 months later when Fuddruckers closed. I was crushed.
Terrible. Yep. Smokies. We lost Smokies, too. There's a whole bunch of those great restaurants, man. That's some good stuff. Smokies was legendary. That was before my time here.
Oh, was it? When did you move here?
Spring of 98.
Okay, because I got here 95 or 96, and that's about the time Smokies closed
down. It might have been here for a short time, but not much.
Yeah, and you'd go out there, and it was known. It was known that when you got to the table, you got your basket of garlic bread, and it was usually, a little on the hard side.
Yeah.
Well, it was known that when those bread baskets went back, and if all the bread wasn't consumed out of the basket, you just got thrown back into the hopper with all the other bread.
Yeah.
That was a well-known fact.
Maybe that's why they're not here anymore. I don't know.
No, he ended up, he sold it or did he pass it to family? Then he moved to Arizona or was looking for a place in Arizona, and he died. He was like fell off the side of a cliff or something. It was a crazy story, yeah. And passed away.
Yikes.
His commercials were fantastic.
Jay, I love your takes on political things because I know you don't spend a ton of time on it, generally speaking. But I'm curious what is your overall perception on what is going on with the Harris and Trump race right now? We know Harris got the huge surge, way bigger than I thought it was going to be. And now it seems like it's coming down. The Minnesota poll, the KSTP did. She was up 10 a month ago. Now she's up 5. Do you feel like it's coming back to pretty even race now, or who's ahead right now?
Steve, I don't know. I'm one of these guys, this. I just don't buy into the polls because you don't know who's being question, what the questions are, what the, you know, while we know the sample sizes, I just don't have faith. And we know what happened in 2016. I mean, you know, Trump, you know, by the polls, Trump should have lost that thing, and he just smoked. I believe the same thing happened with Reagan. Reagan was behind, too, in the polls.
The popular vote on the Trump and Hillary race actually wasn't all that far off of what the actual numbers turned out to be. It was the Electoral College that did in Hillary. Yeah. So I think, you know, she was like a 2.6% in the popular vote. And I think she won it by like 2.3 or something. That wasn't that far off. I don't know. I feel like it's getting back to 50-50.
I would agree with you. I think we're going to get a real gauge on it after this debate happens.
1 week from tonight, baby.
And I just saw coming across the news. As of now, they're both on board. There's no turning back. I know over the holiday weekend, there was rumor that, you know, she was trying to get out of this thing.
Yep.
This debate, this is going to be a game changer, and Trump needs to go in there and just play it cool like he did with Biden. And I'm glad that the mics are going to be off.
Oh, is that for sure?
That is for sure. Okay. Mics off, because we saw what Kamala will pull in past debates when she debated Pence.
I'm speaking.
She can't do that. So just play it cool. And, you know, don't go on the attack. You go on attack on her policies and her record, but don't go on the personal attacks. This is his moment to get them independents and those moderates and those people that don't. This now is your chance, because you and I have talked before. That pool is shrinking.
Yeah.
You got to get them people.
Yeah,
but a 5-point loss in Minnesota, like we're talking on Common Sense Club today, you know, you can take the polls for whatever they are, but 5 points is a lot, Steve.
It is. But margin of error is usually 3.5.
Yeah.
And there's five in this KSTP poll, 4% say they prefer another candidate, which you'd guess is RFK, a lot of them. And 5% say they're undecided. So right there, you got 9% that could swing one way or the other.
So you got to be careful. That's just it. That's just in Minnesota. You've got all these other states.
But if he's only down 5 in Minnesota, that means that in a lot of these other swing states, he's got to be ahead again.
He's got to be. But again, you know, we don't know.
I just don't think people are not ready for her. They just aren't. I know there's the Karens in the corner, and you know, my body, my rights, and all of this, and Donald Trump is a 34-time convicted. I just think most normal people are going to look at what she's really all about at some point and say, I'm never going to be ultra rich, but what you're trying to do to these people is not right either. I don't want to live in that country.
Yeah. It's going to come down to the debate. And then from there, I mean, this is it. And then you've got the Vance and Walls debate. That's coming up October 1st. Yeah. I'm excited to see that. I don't think that's really going to play a factor.
Same.
But it's going to be
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be good.
And you got Walls' brother now coming out.
How about that story?
I mean, just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Walls has been governor for how long? And was he a senator or rep before that? Minnesota?
Congressman.
Mm-hmm. And his brother hasn't said a word about.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, his brother's coming out.
Kind of going scorched earth on him. Yeah,
exactly.
So you and I and Scotty talked about it there. By the way, Flag Plus, if you want to see our little roundtable on that today. Scotty and I got into a little bit on that deal. But that's all right.
You got to do that, man.
Well, he needed to hear what I had to say, and I probably needed to hear what he had to say, too.
So we just
see it differently. I'm like, no, there's some things. Family is sacred, man. You just don't do that. You don't do that in your family. You find a way to say what you got to say,
but you
don't go after your brother's skeleton.
I get it, but we're talking now in the world of politics, and politics is a very, very ugly
dirty
world.
Business.
It's very dirty. That includes family.
Dirty business.
You know, for me, I look at it as like, you know, why would he now come out? So his brother's got to be really worried. Okay, my brother, it could possibly be the vice president of the United States. This is not good.
Yeah, not something.
That's the only reason I can think that.
Your brother.
Yeah. You know,
oh, man.
So, but is he ever going to come out and be specific on why, you know,
he's coming out
against his brother? I don't want personal family stuff, but if there's specific things, you know, that we don't know about Walls and his politics and his beliefs, and you know, then we want to know about it.
I think
we
so
already
too.
Know the guy's nuts. But
all right, bro, thanks for coming
by, buddy.
Always good to see you. The one and only Jay Thomas, my buddy from the other end of the hall. here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. We do this every week, usually on Wednesday, but every once in a while we sneak the days around a little bit. All right, when we come back on the program, we got the top five at five today. Fargo City Commission is going to talk about this Arbors area in South Fargo, and I'm glad somebody's talking about it. They've got to figure out how to handle this area because it's getting out of control in a hurry. That when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. It is time, friends, for the top five at five, the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. Usually we do this at the top of the hour, but Jay stopped in today, so we bump it back a little bit. So let's give you five stories that I believe pass the so what test that you really need to know about these five, I believe. So story number one. We had six different bomb threats in this community last week. Six bomb threats in 1 week. Well, Fargo PD says it has now become a federal investigation. Fargo Police Department says the FBI is now the lead agency investigating last week's bomb threat incidents in Fargo. The incidents include the threats made against Fargo South High School on August 28th and 30th, as well as threats against four businesses. All six threats were found to be not credible. The FBI has taken over the investigation due to the origins of the threats. So there must be something here that makes them feel like these are not just six sort of randos that are going out trying to stir up trouble. Very interesting. Little old Fargo, part of an FBI probe. How about that? Story number two, speaking of Fargo, they are going to talk about a couple of things tonight. It's going to be an interesting night at City Commission. They're going to do a final adoption of an ordinance about camping on public property. This is the homeless camps we're talking about here. But I believe the bigger story is part two of the meeting minutes here. Fargo City Commissioner John Strand wants to have a discussion regarding the Arbors. He tells WDAY Radio, we have a community of people living at the Arbors who are communicating their serious concerns about safety and public health conditions. Strand says he wants to hear an update from the departments regarding calls for service, the nature of their working relationship with the Arbors community and management, and any issues left in the balance that are not being addressed. This is a good thing. The meeting is underway. Otherwise, I'd tell you to get down there. Look, in any community, you have areas that make you roll your eyes, shake your fist, shrug your shoulders, and you say, well, that's that neighborhood. And it's easy to say that when you don't live there. And what's happened to the Arbors has been horrific. Some of these crimes that have been committed there, people saying, I don't feel safe. There's gang activity here all the time. I'm just trying to live here and have a safe place for my kids. There, you can find good and bad in every bunch. And in this all-or-nothing society that we have, it's easy to say, oh, well, he's just bulldozed the whole thing down. Bunch of losers down in that area. But that's obviously an immature and foolish response. There are many wonderful people, young families, folks working two, three jobs trying to make ends meet. And because of the position in life that they're in, they have to live in that part of town. It's not pretty. Over in Moorhead, the Romkey Park neighborhood used to be kind of the punchline, I guess you might say, in Moorhead. Well, now it's turned into the Arbors in Fargo. And I'm glad that John Strand is asking the questions. There are people there that need some encouragement. And I'm sure the Fargo police is doing the best they can, but this kind of goes back to what Zabolski was saying, like we really haven't added any FTEs in the last three, 4 years. Okay, well, we've got to give law enforcement what they need. We got to find a way to do it. If there are some tax increases because of that, I think we will all understand that. But they've got to find a way to have a more active presence, because anywhere that you have an active and engaged police force, you will have less crime. You won't necessarily have less bad people, but they're not going to be acting out in the backyard. They'll go to other places to do whatever it is they're going to do. And these people in the Arbors, I have to believe, are just desperate for somebody to say, we care about you. Good for you, John Strand. I'm glad this is getting a long look tonight at Fargo City Commission. All right, story number three. Jay and I were just talking about this one. KSTP's new poll, which showed Kamala Harris leading Donald Trump a month ago by 10 percentage points, is down to just 5. And 4% say they prefer another candidate, and 5% say they're undecided. That's 9%. If Donald Trump gets all of them, which, look, he wouldn't. But let's say he gets 2/3 of them. 6-3. He's ahead. Maybe that's not realistic yet, but how far do these numbers continue to change? Very interesting there. Most political observers in Minnesota feel like Kamala Harris is still in pretty good shape in Minnesota. But I think people are watching these numbers. The gender gap is real in Minnesota. It seems everywhere, you guys. It's crazy how, maybe it's because Kamala Harris is a woman. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the abortion stuff. I don't know. But Harris leads by 18 among women, 55-37. But among men, Trump leads by 6. Just think about that in Minnesota. If it was just men, insert your own joke here, and you could go a number of different directions with that. But if it was just men in Minnesota, if there were no women in Minnesota, Trump would win Minnesota. Very interesting. Harris leads in urban areas, 57-34, and in suburbs, 53-39. I'm surprised that it's that. I just don't understand why the suburbs are that way. Trump leads in rural areas, 54-37. So she beats him more in urban areas than he beats her in rural areas. Story number four, U.S. factories remained in slowdown mode in August, reports CNBC, fueling fears about where the economy is headed. The Institute for Supply Management's monthly survey of purchasing managers showed that just 47.2% reported expansion during the month, and that's below the 50% break-even point for activity. Now, that was a little bit above the July number of 46.8, but it was below what analysts expected of 47.9. So they're saying that more economic readings like this raise the probability the Federal Reserve will be cutting interest rates by at least a quarter percentage point later this month. And those manufacturing results were backed up by another Standard & Poor's manufacturing reading, which showed a decrease of 47.9 in August, down from 49.6 in July. So almost a 2 percentage point swing there as well. So that index showed a decline for the first time this year. Excuse me, that's an employment index. Pardon me, that's not a manufacturing index. So two different reports measuring two different things, but both of them showing the economy is slowing down. All right, 5:33. Oh, no, sorry, I got one more here for you. Addison's like, come on, Hallstrom, get your act together. I think I just woke him up when I said, all right, here we go. And Addison, I see him leaning back in his chair. And he says, okay, time to get back to work here. The blowhard has come up for air. But I've got one more I got to give you here. Minnesota's hospital nursing workforce is making a turnaround from the pandemic, but workforce challenges remain. This is the note I thought was really interesting. In 2023, there were about 15% of all the nursing jobs were open. They called a vacancy rate. Well, now that number is down to 11.1. It went from 14.7 to 11.1 in just a year. So that's a 3.5 percentage point change. So more and more of those jobs are getting filled. We are putting more nurses into those jobs where we need them. So that is a good thing. Absolutely. One other footnote to this study, though, that was put out by the Minnesota Hospital Association, 1 in 7 general practice doctors in Minnesota will reach retirement age in the next 5 years. For specialty physicians, the number is nearly 1 in 5. So we need doctors and we need nurses to go into the business, no doubt about that. All right, 5:34 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. That, friends, is a look at the top 5 of 5 brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows. When we come back, still interested in your thoughts on the Trump-Harris race. Are you feeling better than you were a couple weeks ago, a month ago? Are you feeling worse? Are you feeling about the same? What's your gut tell you about how this race is going to play out? 701-271-1100. News and weather check coming up right now. I think this event sounds really cool. The 6th annual Pitchfork and Hoe Gathering, September 7th and 8th at the Eagles Club in Valley City. It starts 9 o'clock on Saturday, 11 o'clock on Sunday. You're going to learn how to preserve food, basics of foraging, knife sharpening. A lot of local vendors will be there. And there's going to be an active shooter preparedness seminar. And in the world that we live in today, it's a good idea to be prepared on all of those things. Some great speakers will be there as well. Rick Becker is going to answer all your questions on that upcoming vote about North Dakota property taxes. Derek Gilbert from Skywatch TV is going to be talking about why the military and the government is talking about UFOs so much lately. And there'll be some gospel bluegrass music there as well, some good food as well. For more details, search the Pitchfork and Hoe Gathering in Valley City. And Facebook's got a page on this, too, this weekend at the Eagles Club in Valley City. I was just thinking during the commercial break about, I had a text from a buddy earlier today about the Liz Collin and Michelle Tafoya show coming up October 17th. And there's not going to be two better people to help explain and help you and me understand what happens in Minnesota politically than these two ladies. And the good tickets are being sold right now at the Avalon. Sale is underway. October 17th, 7 o'clock at the Avalon. It's going to be a great time. There's a VIP section with a VIP reception. And we are keeping the prices, I think, really fair on this show because we want to have a full house, no doubt about that. You can get tickets starting at just $15. And if you're a Flag Plus member, you get $20 off the good seats as well. So a lot of reasons to be excited about it. But, hey, on October 17th, we're all going to be like, tell me more. Like, what can you tell me about this election? How is it going? Are we close? Could we possibly even win Minnesota? And based on the news of the day, down to 5 points in Minnesota, according to the KSTP poll. So maybe it's in play after all. And wouldn't that be a story? So you're going to want to be there October 17th. The best seats are being sold right now, and you can go to am1100theflag.com and click on the banner and get your tickets right now. So make sure that you do that. I have an email that I want to read for you. A gentleman, I will not use his name because he sent it to my personal email address. He emailed me about a week ago and said, "Hey, Steve, where can I get a Trump yard sign? I live in Moorhead, and there's a lot of people who don't want to put up their Trump signs in Moorhead because they're scared, and I'm not. I want to be loud and proud." And I said, "Gosh, I don't know. Like, Clay County Republicans might be able to help you." And so this gentleman is listening to the show today, and he emailed me a couple minutes ago, actually sent it on a text to me. He said, "I'm listening to your show today, Steve. If you think Minnesota is in play, let's get someone from the local Clay County office on the air. Let's get moving. I finally got a yard sign from a guy who bought it for $10 in Lake Park. If I was able to call in, I would tell you that I would have been very pessimistic. I really don't see a chance for Trump this year. I see way more excitement for Harris and way less for Trump. If Trump loses, I really feel there will be no need to vote anymore in the future. So thank you for answering the question of the day. How do you feel?" Let me take a couple of points here. I really don't see a chance for Trump this year. Why? What data set are you looking at that tells you that Trump doesn't have a chance? Now, if you're talking about Minnesota, I guess I understand a little bit more. Minnesota is going to be one of the hardest states to win. I get all of that. But if you're talking about Donald Trump not having a chance, I see it completely the opposite. Our country is not ready for a socialist slash communist to run our country. We're not. People like me, and maybe even people like you, because we spend so much time paying attention to it. We know who Kamala Harris is. We've exposed all of her ideologies basically on this show and all of the mechanisms and all the processes and practices. We've talked about all of it. We understand that there's nothing there and that all of her ideas have been tried in other places and they have failed miserably. We know that. But if you asked, if you did a poll yourself and said, okay, with Kamala Harris, like, does she really believe in socialism? I bet you would have 80% of the people in the country that say, no, she doesn't believe in socialism. Come on. When her playbook is straight out of the book. I mean, her play calls are straight out of the book. It's socialism, boring on communism. And this isn't just me. Like, Bernie Sanders got mad that somebody said that she's more socialist than he is. He's, I'll tell you what, I'm more of a communist than she is, or whatever he said at the time. So she doesn't really run from it. She, all of her plans and all of her philosophies are something out of, you know, 1970 Soviet Union. So once people start to learn more, and they're going to get this debate, Jay and I were talking about, the debate's going to be really important here, and people are just going to start paying attention. Maybe now they do after Labor Day, but most people are just living their life. They kind of know a little bit. They know that they've heard all this stuff about Trump, and they know that he got convicted of something. They don't like that. Most independents don't like that, that Trump's a convicted felon. All right? And so this is what most people know. And they're not going to stop to ask themselves, okay, how did Donald Trump get convicted? How did that exactly happen? They just know that he did. And they don't know. If they're not paying attention, they don't know that the court system doesn't work in all cases the way it should. In this case, the deal about convicted sexual assault, there's no proof to that case. A jury said, yeah, sounds like probably she's right, but there's no evidence of anything. So people just see convicted. You've got found guilty, sexual predator, whatever. And you know what the media does with that. So I think the more time that goes on, and I wish that we didn't have, you know, absentee ballots going out already. I wish it was just go to the poll on election day, but that's not going to help. The fact that she has not really yet been exposed. I think they tried to put off this debate as late as possible so that they could get some mail-in ballots come back already. And once you put your ballot in, you can't change your mind, even though sometimes people want to. So I do see a chance for Trump. Is it going to be easy? No, of course not. It'll never be easy the way the Democrats are good at, quote-unquote, playing the game. So I do see a chance. I see way more excitement for Harris and way less for Trump. That's what this gentleman said. Right now you're coming off the convention when she's got that kind of surge. So I see that way more. I don't know. By the day, I think that changes. And I think that in another week or two, I mean, a week from tonight is the debate. And I could be completely wrong on this, but I don't see how this can go well for her. She is not able to talk any of the issues. And Trump goes from issue to issue and gets into different layers and points within the argument and bopping back and forth. She can't go there. She just can't. That's not who she is. So a week from tonight, let's see what the excitement level looks like. And then the last comment, if Trump loses, I really feel there will be no need to vote anymore in the future. Look, I understand. I do. We would feel beaten. We would. No doubt about it. Period. End of sentence. End of story. However, I continue to rest in the fact that, I guess, a couple things. Number one, God is on the throne. It says in Scripture that he appoints the rulers. Now, if you don't believe in the Bible's truth, I understand that doesn't mean anything to you. But maybe it can mean something to you to know that the believers in your world believe that God appoints the rulers. I don't know why he allowed Joe Biden to be president. I don't. Someday I'll hopefully get to ask the man upstairs about that. But that is what helps me put my head on the pillow and sleep, is that God is in control, even when life seems crazy. So there's that. And the second thing I would say is this. I believe there will always be a need to vote because the democracy will always be up for grabs. There are too many patriots. There are too many strong Americans in this country to just let our country go and not try to do anything about it. And look at what's happened in the last year or two. You have the overturning of Roe versus Wade. That comes out of nowhere. None of us were thinking that that might happen. All right? Elon Musk buys Twitter. Did you see that happening? I didn't. And now look what we've got, the best chamber of free speech in the world right now, where you and I can say the things that we want to say, the things that we believe in, and we don't have to worry. Well, most of the time anyway, there's still, I think, a little censorship done by some of the minions in there. But for the most part, Elon Musk is as outspoken as anybody. Elon Musk has turned into a MAGA guy. Elon Musk, the electric vehicle guy. All right, you've got women like Jillian Michaels who are saying, I check every box on the liberal side. I'm a gay woman, my kids are whatever, I got tattoos, I don't go to church, whatever. And she's saying that the liberals are going crazy with all these things. The Joe Rogans of the world, the Bill Maher's of the world. Bill Maher's coming. I think Bill Maher is a Trump guy. He just won't admit it. I mean, he's saying everything except I'm voting for Trump. If you listen to what he's talking about, maybe he's just acting. I don't know. But he sounds like a conservative more and more every time I hear him. These are massive shifts, you guys, in the public conversation. And I never saw any of these things coming. The press ran Joe Biden out of the White House and out of the campaign. Now, you can argue that they were doing it because they wanted a better candidate, but at least they were willing to call a spade a spade. And we're now hearing people like Acosta, Jim Acosta on CNN, openly ripping Kamala Harris for not doing debates and interviews. Like, these things didn't happen 2, 3, 4 years ago. They didn't. And they're happening now. So don't give up, friends. I know it seems bleak, but don't give up. There will always be a need and an opportunity to vote. And you just never know when the tide is about to turn. All right, I got one more break I got to take. But Eric and Morehead, hang tight, brother. I'll get to you right away when we come back. But if we don't do this now, we're going to get in some trouble here. Steve Hallstrom Show. This is why I am hopeful. I'm glass half full on this thing. I think there's always going to be a chance. And in this election, I absolutely believe there's a chance. How about you? 271-1100. Be right back. All right. I've got to get this story in because I told you, I've teased it a couple of times. Talking about Minnesota resorts. And I saw this today in the Star Tribune. And I was like, wow. In the 1960s, the heyday of the mom and pop resort in Minnesota, there were more than 3,000 family-owned resorts statewide. By the time they got to the mid-1990s, the number had dropped to 1,800, so almost in half. Well, since the mid-1990s, the number has dwindled to fewer than 700, from 3,000 down to 700 in the span of, what, 60 years, something like that? I thought that was really interesting. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. We got a couple minutes left. Eric is going to get a shot to weigh in on the program. Eric, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Steve. Well, I got two quick things. One is for your email listener, and that is over by Park Rapids at Nevis is a Trump superstore.
Oh, that big Trump store, yeah.
So the person could take a nice leisurely drive over the beautiful Park Rapids area and stop by and get everything he needs there.
Okay, they've got the signs too, like the yard signs. Eric, they've got all that?
I believe so. They got everything there.
I know they got the flags and the shirts and stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So that's one thing. The other, did you happen to watch the Megyn Kelly podcast that aired yesterday?
I did not.
Okay, on there was Command Sergeant Major Tom Behrens, Command Sergeant Major Paul Herr, First Sergeant Rodney Towns, and Platoon Sergeant Tom Schiller.
Okay. I saw a photo of it that she was talking to them. Yes. What did you learn?
Yep, that aired yesterday. It's devastating. Well, I didn't learn anything because I'm from the same 1st Brigade Combat Team. And so I know the story of Tim Walz very well.
Yeah.
And also I had Command Sergeant Major Behrens on Heroes of the Heartland.
Sure. Yeah. Got you.
But I encourage everybody to take a look at it because neither one of those guys, Harris or Walz, can think on their feet very well if you saw what happened at the state ferry when they asked about the Israeli hostages.
We're going to go. Eric, right on. And I'm sorry, I've got to do the same to you, my friend, because we're out of time. But thank you, Master Sergeant Martz, for giving us a call. We appreciate you listening to the program and dropping that. I might have to dig that up and play a little bit of that for you tomorrow, some of that stuff from that Megyn Kelly podcast. I've seen a couple of comments on it. It sounds like it was, I think he was, the word he was going for was devastating. So I'll see if I can dig into that a little bit. All right, my friend. Well, that will do it for today's show. Busy show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling, emailing, texting. Have a great night and keep on flying that flag.